You are listening to the Experience University Podcast, Season 8, Episode 10.
Welcome to Experience University, where we aim to educate, inspire, and empower individuals who wish to design transformational experiences. Now your host, Dr. Kristen Malik.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another epic episode on our podcast, Experience University. I am putting a special episode out today. We're right in the middle of season 8. Season 8 is all things everybody from different unique backgrounds. And this has included psychology and sound healing, just all of these different areas that we don't normally think of when it comes to events, but they're integral to events. Like they're such important components of events. We've been having so much fun. I think this is the 10th episode, 9th or 10th episode. We've had all these different fields. And so I actually had a couple comments within the last 2 or 3 weeks, people sending me LinkedIn messages and students. So apparently I'm so honored, but apparently there's some schools in the United Kingdom and some schools in Taiwan, some schools like all around the world that are requiring these podcast episodes as like part of their homework assignments. And so if that is relevant to you, I am so incredibly humbled and honored that you're listening in. And so some of these students are like super into it and they've added me on LinkedIn. With a couple of them even asked me to be mentors. And a couple of people have reached out. They're like, season 8 has been so eye-opening, but am I actually in the right major? And I'm not trying to cause an existential crisis here. So I actually work with a bunch of super wonderful students, all different backgrounds. And I thought that I would bring one of my students on the podcast today who is a major in marketing, a minor in psychology, minor in hospitality, and to have her talk a little bit on the podcast. So please welcome Lydia Tobin. Lydia, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on. I feel like I've listened to all your podcast episodes so far and been involved in it on the back end. And I'm super pumped to be with you right now. This is awesome. Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And it's like, I see you like almost every day. So now yes. We're on Zoom because we're recording.
Now we're on Zoom.
This is weird. Like you're supposed to be in this conference room with me. So some disclaimers up front. So we're going to be talking about majors. We're going to be talking about competencies. Every single school, every single state and country is structured a little bit differently. So here in the United States, over 70% of event programs are actually within the College of Business. And 25% of them are within what we would call like human sciences or education, human sciences, even some agriculture. And a lot of those are focused in the Midwest, which is not, you know, obviously don't make a rule of that. There's schools everywhere, but I am in the Midwest and events is in hospitality here. So Lydia is a minor in hospitality, but that's not specific to events. So this can change, but Lydia's got the event competencies and we're going to talk about competencies. I do recognize that in Europe, there's a big discussion right now whether events should be part of the business industry or the creative industry. It's a really fascinating discussion. We've also got experience design, which is normally with theater. So there's so many nuances. So we're going to try to stick to competencies and maybe that lives in a different program than what school you're in or what field you're looking to go back into, or if you're looking at a certificate or a graduate degree. So this podcast is really great for everybody. So, all right, Lydia, you ready to jump in?
Yes, I'm so excited. See, I learned something from you every time because I would never have thought that in Europe, they're thinking about putting events in business and creative. They're both.
Exactly.
Why pick one? They're both. Anyway, that's my
I think every single field is like, I'm my own industry. Why do I have to be part of another industry? And then you look at the competencies and you're like, in events, we have the meeting and business event competencies or MBECs. And that's a global initiative from, I don't know, 2012 to show how events should be on its own, like its own business, separate from hospitality. And then you look at it and it's like 9 out of 12 of the categories are straight up business. So it's like...
We can't win.
I know. It's just so funny. So Lydia, tell us how you ended up deciding marketing, events, psychology. Tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you up to this point.
Absolutely. So I have two older sisters, and I feel like everyone that is a youngest child is influenced to some degree by their parents or their siblings and all that. So my oldest sister went to school for events, and she was in marketing and events. And I was like, wow, that sounds really interesting and right up my alley. So when I went to college, I definitely wanted to pursue that. But I got to college, wanted to declare marketing for sure, but I was also looking into events still, and I was super confused when I wanted to declare events and I had to declare hospitality, restaurant, tourism, management. Like, I want nothing to do with hotels and I want nothing to do with restaurants. I want to do events. So I don't want to declare that. So for like my first year of college, I didn't have hospitality in my realm whatsoever. I was declared marketing, which I still am. The reason for that is because I am interested in the business world and I am interested in, you know, the metrics and all of that. I would be an ad PR major if I wanted to be more on the creative side of things. But with marketing, I feel like I get to see the background of how everything works. And then also too, with events, you get to use events to your leverage. You get to have events be what get people to your company, or marketing gets people to your events. They literally live in a circle together. And then also too, you mentioned I do have a psychology minor, and that throws people for a curveball. I had a family friend recommend to me when I was in high school that if there's one thing you do when going into marketing, you need to go into some type of psychology. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. I'll try anything once. That's kind of my motto in life, is I'll do anything once. And if I hate it, we'll move on. But I took a couple psychology classes my freshman year and I fell in love with that. And the route that I took in my class work with that was more how people work with each other and how they interact, and less so the chemical side of psychology, you know, the brain chemicals and all that, but more so the, how do I make someone else feel a way, and how can I make them do this thing that I want them to do? So psychology in that realm really works with marketing and how you get people to do the things that you want to do. And then also events, getting people to your events, wanting to hang out at your events and see each other. So getting the things that they want to take away from it. Yeah. Yeah. So it all kind of works together. It's crazy to think that I'm almost done with college and I'm right here now.
Let's talk about it. About like my said.
I know.
I'm not going to cry on YouTube. It's not going to happen. So yeah, it's so interesting because when I talk to high schoolers or freshmen or sophomore, first year, second year, depending on where you live and the terms you use, I'm always like, in your unrestricted electives, like take some psychology. For event professionals that I'm talking to, I'm like, take some psychology, like certifications, or get on Coursera or Udemy or whatever, because understanding how people work when you're in events is super important. And so yes, I absolutely love that you have those things. So I was a guest speaker in one of your classes, and I was in there speaking about events, and it was like the end of a spring term, and I have all these summer projects always. Like, I always have all the summer funding, and I was like in there, I was like, I have 4 paid positions. Please, 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 if you're interested, reach out. And you reached out, and we've been working together now ever since, like 2 years almost.
Yes.
And
I remember I remember our first meeting. There were donuts and coffee in the office, and you and I sat for probably an hour and a half and just chatted, and I knew we hit it off. And I was like, leaving there, I'm like, yes, this is awesome. So it's fun now to think of how long we've been together. You've been with me my whole college journey. So yes, this is super awesome.
I love it. I love that. And like our team, like, cause we have multiple people, but which is wonderful. So you have done so much with me for events, marketing of events, events as part of the marketing plan, cause those are different. Getting people to your events is very different than like using events for like conversion of a business or service, a product. Mm-hmm. You've done all my logos for all my events, including the one on my TED Talk. You've done all of these things. So for all those people out there who are like, I didn't even know that I needed this competency, or I didn't even know that I needed this information, what's the things from marketing, from psychology, and from the events worker working with me with events? Like, what are the key things that you're like, this has been the most beneficial? And I'm putting you on the spot because I didn't send you questions ahead of time. So like, what are the key things from these areas that you're like, this has been like the most beneficial to designing these events?
I am going to bring up our favorite thing, funnels. Everything is a sales funnel of some degree. Maybe not sales. I shouldn't say sales funnel, but events, it's a funnel. Mm-hmm. marketing is a funnel. Mm-hmm. Talking about your feelings with people and getting people to be on your same page. Psychology is a funnel.
Dating apps are a funnel.
Everything
is a funnel. I love it.
Everything is a funnel. Yeah. And I think that that's so important. So we read a book together called .com Secrets. Mm-hmm. And I love that when we did that book club, because we'd come to our meetings every week and we talk about our takeaways. Mm-hmm. And I think with reading that book together, you were able to kind of honestly teach me a lot of what my marketing classes haven't, because we were able to have those conversations in context of what we were actually doing. So I understood better what the things meant. I think that the way that a funnel works, it's in everything. Everything is a funnel. It's taking the bigger pool and narrowing it and getting closer and getting people to be on your same page every step of the way until you reach your desired ending. Yeah, I love it. So I think that's like the common thread between it all. Yes, we talk about a sales funnel in my sales classes, but we don't talk about it in any other realm. And I think that that's like the huge issue. And what I'm learning in college is that that doesn't go through everything that we're doing. You know, even engineers use funnels. You know, everyone is doing it, and only we're talking about it in my sales class. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge pain point of me being in college, is I feel like I'm learning more from the on the job stuff, which is how it should be. I should be learning more from the experiences I have. But I think that it's a huge issue in kind of the things that we do is my sales classes. Why aren't we only talking about them in funnels there?
Well, there's my mind. Types of funnels, just like you mentioned.
Yes.
You have like your sales for product and sales for service, but there's also educational funnels, which are a type mm-hmm. of sales funnel. There's also what we have coined, though I'm not sure that's out there anywhere, but we've coined like event funnels, like how to mm-hmm. structure your different types of events to get them to your desired goals, whether that's like an online webinar and then, you know, like a online event to an in-person event to a mastermind to like whatever. So funnels. And as you know, like every client we work with, we talk about funnel. And I, of course, I'm talking about Miss Kelly in my mind, but every client we work with, we talk about funnels to the point where they're like, oh God, please do not mention another funnel.
Yes. No. And it's funny because it's completely wrapped up my world. Cause now I think of everything as a funnel. Everything is. And it is. It's so true. Cause they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the thing that they taught.
So competency, like from psychology, okay. Like you took these 4, 5, 6 classes and you're like, okay, obviously knowing how people work, that's a broad thing. But like, what's the one thing that you find that you like keep referencing or applying to the events as we're planning it, as we're doing it?
Yes. So in the fall, I took a class about motivation and learning and motivation. And yes, a lot of it was how we retain information, but a lot of it was what encourages us as humans to want to learn something, especially in college when kids are so lackadaisical these days, like in, for lack of a better term, I think that we're at an all-time high of people just not caring in all realms. But I think that having people be motivated in some degree to do what you want them to do. And it doesn't have to be an incentive. You don't have to say, oh, I'll give you a $5 gift card if you do this. It's making them see the benefit and the value in what you're offering them and making them want to take the next step of, wow, I got this from what we did. Wow, I'm on this journey with you now. I'm super invested. I want to know what else you have to say to me. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what we think about in our events and making sure people have buy-in and all those good things. But that's one thing I definitely have taken away is how can you motivate people to truly be on your same page?
Yeah. Now that you've been doing events with me and in some of your event coursework in the program, now that you've been doing events for 2 years, what's the one thing that's like the most surprising to you that you're like, wow, I wasn't really expecting that in events, or I came in with this preconceived notion of what this would be, and it's totally not like that.
Absolutely. So one of the first projects that we worked on, again, I mentioned earlier that events at the school that we're at falls under the hospitality, restaurant, tourism management major. And with us, our first project was in tourism. And we were talking about first impressions and all that good stuff. I remember being a little thrown off, like, okay, I want to do events. I want to be planning. I don't really care about what's going on rurally. That was my thought process. And Something that I actually have come to really find interesting is convention and visitors bureaus, CVBs, and also, you know, destination marketing is a lot of what we've ended up discussing and talking about. That's been the most surprising thing in our work with each other and through events is getting people to want to go to places is similar to getting people to want to go to your event. The crossover between that is crazy in my mind, but it's also super interesting because it's a different type of thing that people think to market. You think of marketing a product or a service, but you don't think about marketing. How can I get people to come to this literal location? Mm-hmm. What does this place have to offer you? I think that's been really surprising in our work together, how much I've enjoyed tourism work because I never expected, I didn't really know what it was. And now that I do, I love it.
Yeah. It's so funny because we talk about like, it's a Venn diagram of overlap and people are often like, well, Kristen, what do you do? Right? Like mm-hmm. you just say like, what exactly do you do? And I'm like, I design events and experiences that change mindset behavior. And that yeah. is a ton of marketing. It's a ton of events, ton of experience design. But I do a lot in rural tourism and people are always surprised by that, specifically like rural tourism. And they're so surprised. I'm like, why are you surprised? If you are a rural destination that doesn't have a lot of physical permanent infrastructure, the way that you're going to get tourism is through events because mm-hmm. you don't have the physical infrastructure. Like you don't have 10 different restaurants. You maybe don't have a grocery store. You don't have these things. So how can you build in events, a signature event, community events, you know, your arts and crafts festival or your farmer's market or, you know, your yearly like Swedish Heritage Days or whatever. And mm-hmm. then making sure that's a success by like you have public bathrooms or you bring them in or like, where are you going to get your food if you're a food desert? So like we talk about those discussions, but how else do you bring money into the community when you don't necessarily have that infrastructure? So I do a ton in rural tourism with events. And so I'm so glad you
yes.
brought that up. That's good.
Yes. And also too, that another note on that is when a town is known for the event that they have annually, branding, marketing, yep. it all ties together. It's what they're known for. So it's so funny because it is a glorious little Venn diagram, even like a tri Venn diagram, if you will. But it's one of those things. It's very interesting for sure.
And I think here in the United States, and I know you don't have like a ton of experience elsewhere, though you've traveled and you've lived in some other places, but in the US, it's like, oh, you're an event planner. You must do weddings, right? And I'm not sure globally how that is, but people are genuinely surprised by like my marketing background and my marketing experience and like events as part of marketing and marketing of events. And we were speaking to a Native American tribe, an indigenous tribe. We were trying to help them with their events, their powwows, their tourism. And mm-hmm. the lady up front was just like an elder in the tribe. And she was like, excuse me, this may be rude, but like, what exactly is your education and experience? And I know you were laughing and we had a big debrief about that after because events yes. is everything. Like you have to
do
everything with events and you have to market to get people there. You need psychology to understand how people work. You need some neuroscience for structure and flow and making sure that people are changing their mindset and behavior. You need like the architecture, floor plans, you need your interior design. You need all of these things. And we don't ever think about that, right?
It's just no.
Yeah.
It was, I remember that instance. I thought it was hilarious. And you know, what you brought up with weddings too. I remember the day that we met in my class, I remember one of the first things you said to everyone was raise your hand if you want to be a wedding planner. And then I'm going to change your mind by the end of this. And that's what I knew I would love you. Cause I'm like, yeah, it's not what people think. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. No shame to the wedding people because we need you, but it's not for everyone.
Well,
and everyone thinks that they want to do
me.
It.
It's amazing to me how many students think they are like, I want to do weddings. And that's so great. Like 5% of our students still graduate wanting to be wedding planners, interning with wedding planners, getting a job as wedding planners. Beautiful. Like that is for
yes.
you. So glad we're helping you with that. But there's so many people that are like, oh, I hadn't like quite put it together that I was going to have to work every Friday and Saturday for the rest of my life. And I was going to
clap
because there's only so much you can charge and there's only 52 weekends in a year. And so like, I'm also going to have to do rentals. I'm also going to have to do, you know, own my own venue or bed and breakfast or whatever mm-hmm. if I want to continue to rise in income because otherwise I cap out. And like, people just don't necessarily think about that, which is fascinating.
No, it was just a fascinating thing because you opening class like that day, I still remember it. It's been years. So
That's awesome. So if you had input or advice, or, you know, it's so difficult sometimes because every program is structured differently. Every major is different. They have different classes, different requirements. It's actually part of the problem with our industry. Yes. Is like saying you have a degree in events doesn't mean that you have the same competencies. I think that's where the MBA, AACSB accredited business programs, like they rock at this, because globally, no matter what program you go to, it's guaranteed you're going to graduate with the same competencies. And that's why that program is strong. So obviously not the same in events, sadly, right now. So if you are talking to the people on the podcast, if someone's like, hey, Lydia, what piece of advice could you give me, or a course or a certificate or a specific area? And then I'll ask you like your practical takeaway, right? But like, if you had something specific, or you're like, Lydia, I have an open class available in my schedule. Like, what would that be?
I think that everyone needs to take a psychology class, mm-hmm. and specifically one in emotions or motivation, mm-hmm. because making people feel a way is really hard. And also making people motivated is really hard. And if you can learn the little mental tricks that live in our brains that you don't know about or other people don't know about, and then use them to your advantage in the way you frame things, word things, all that jazz, then you'll be much better set off. And I think so too in what we do, that I use that stuff every day. I think about that every day. Even in group project meetings, how can I get people? What time of day do I need to meet with people to get them to come to this meeting? Stuff like that. It happens with everything. And so I think for students listening, I think that definitely take a psychology class. Take it as an elective if it's not part of what you're doing, or add it as a minor, because genuinely, I do think that on paper, it doesn't make sense with my marketing major and my hospitality background, but genuinely, it is something that I use every day.
I think some people listening on the call is going to be like, yeah, that definitely makes sense. Like, absolutely.
Yes.
Or anyone in the industry, absolutely makes sense.
Makes sense.
I think this particular podcast episode is also really helpful for like parents of like, how do I advise my student who's like interested in events or sending them? Like, obviously, a lot of people come here for our event program just to work with me, which is super humbling.
It's awesome. And it's true. It's wonderful.
You know, like there's so many schools like on the coast that in the US and in other areas in the world, like events is part of marketing, because it is.
Yes.
Right? You have to market your events. Events is part of the marketing plan, the funnel, all of the things. So I would say if you're a parent listening, or if you're an event professional who is a parent whose kid also wants to be an event professional, like looking at the structure of the school, the courses that are offered, the flexibility that you have, super, super important. Okay. Yes. We've been talking. We could talk like all night. So anyone that's listening on the podcast, so many people, event professionals, students, future leaders, all of the things. If you had one practical piece of advice to tell them to incorporate in their events like tomorrow, what would that be?
Okay. I think that my biggest takeaway in working with you has just been that there's a lot of things I didn't know before I worked with you, or how to do things, and just being able and willing to always figure that out for yourself. For example, I hadn't done a lot of graphic design work before working with you. And there is something graphically that I design for nearly every single one of our events, from signage to logos to workbooks to whatever it may be. There's something that my hands are on my computer in that realm. And before we worked together, I was not well versed in Canva. And now I'm getting more into the Adobe InDesign things, because I've also had to learn that for other things. But mostly my practical piece of advice is just don't say that you can't do something or you don't know how to do something, because it's more so like it needs to be figured out. So therefore I will figure it out. And if you have that mindset of it'll get done, I just need a minute to figure it out, that's all you need to do. You need to look at things as not like I don't know how to use Adobe in InDesign, I can't do it. And instead look at it like, I'll look up a tutorial, I'll Google it a little bit, and I will play around and I'll figure it out and I'll go from there.
Yes. Oh, and yeah. I love that, because I know you're talking about at another time, like one of your interviews and something you said. And that's literally how I got my first job too. They were like, oh, do you know layers on AutoCAD? I'm like, not currently, but I will absolutely before the second interview.
Yes.
You can quiz me all you want. And I think that really stood out. So even though there was like 40 applicants for that job at the architectural engineering firm, like I ended up getting it because I'm so willing to learn and actually going and learning, not just saying it, right?
So I interviewed this past December, and for my summer internship, they wanted me to know Adobe. And what have I done this spring semester? Learned Adobe.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast and on the call. I know it was kind of last minute, random. Like I literally texted you earlier this week and I was like, I have these comments from these students. Like if I were to record you this week, can we get it up this week? Because I really want to
discuss
these comments. So with that being said, if you're listening to the podcast or if you've heard the podcast for a while, make sure that you let me know what you want to hear, because that's what I'm here for. That's how we've made it to the end of season 8, is because I take all of the things that you want to learn and I do episodes. I find experts. Lydia is an expert at being a student right now.
I am.
I find all these people and we talk about it and we dive deep and we offer these incredible perspectives that I know people are listening to all around the world, which is so awesome. So thank you again so much, Lydia.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad that I've been listening to your podcast for since we've been working together. And now I'm so excited that here I am. I'm on it.
Yes.
I feel like I made it.
And if you're listening, this is definitely one you want to check out on video, because me and Lydia are very much hand talkers. We're all over the place.
We are.
It's so wonderful.
I feel like you can hear my hand talking in my voice sometimes too. So if you're listening on with your ears, then you're good.
Yes. It's so wonderful. Well, thank you everyone for dialing in and listening today. Of course, I never take your time for granted. Thank you so much for making the time to take the time. And I will see you and hear you and talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Experience University podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode.